Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
And you told me not to drive, but I made it home alive. So you said that only proves that I'm insane. You may be right, I may be crazy.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. Thanks for tuning in today. We are hanging in there, and I got two more hours until I get to go off to my day job. So, but right now we've got calling in the chairman of the Escambia County School Board, David Williams. David, thank you for coming on this morning and talking with us.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you for inviting me, Walker.
Yes, sir. I know y'all are halfway done with the school year. Just got started back. Kids going to school, school buses running around, and you've got a lot going on as we get into 2025. I want to talk a little bit about the whole school, whole community, and whole child program this morning and tell us and the community what that's about and what the school district's doing.
Yes, and as you know, Walker, that's an initiative that's with the Escambia County Children Trust. I'm on the board of directors there while I serve as vice chair presently. Where the school system entered into an agreement with United Way of Northwest Florida to provide an on-site health services and education at two elementary schools to begin the whole school, whole community, whole child program. It's a framework for addressing health in schools. At these schools, we have on-site medical, dental, eye services, social service support, nutrition and health, education, mental health, services, family engagement opportunities, and, of course, we're going to address the physical and academic support as well as provide mentorship to many of those schools. And we're hoping this is something that will spread throughout the entire county. We have a couple of schools already that have a community schools at Pine Forest and CAY, so we're adding two more to that program. So we're really excited about that, of getting these services in that community.
Great. Yeah, I know the community or the program that was at CA Weiss has been in place now for I know it's not 10 years, but it's getting close with all the wraparound services they provide, and now you're adding those to is it a middle school and a high school? Is that correct? If I'm remembering correctly?
Well, Pine Forest has a whole a similar program, CAYs, but the two new schools we're adding are elementary, O.J. Sims and Global Learning Academy.
Oh, great. Great. I know the principal at Global Learning, Lala Pierce, she does a tremendous job over there and works extremely hard with all the struggles that those families face in that community. And we did have Lindsay Cannon on earlier with the trust, and so this is a good segue into having you on this morning to talk about that program. And just...
Yeah.
Want to talk a little bit too about some of the legislative priorities. We did have Representative Andrade on earlier this morning as he's headed to Tallahassee, but just kind of what the school district's looking for legislatively and what their goals are this year.
Oh yes, sir. And matter of fact, we had a chance to meet with him. We had Representative Paul Fesco represented us at the last meeting that was out on Pensacola State College campus. Increased funding is one of the priorities that we're looking into to sustain and the educational needs of Florida public schools. We want to make sure that the base student allocation is increased and addressed due to the inflation of our economy. Hiring experienced educators. As of right now, educators have to sit out 12 months. But I think if we had a quicker turnaround time for those educators that may want to come back, maybe sit out 1 month and come back, we can hire experienced educators. Of course, we always worry about the mental health aspect and, the mental health aspect of the students and the staff. We are going to address that. The intensity of public education right now, we really want to address those mental health services. School safety is always a priority that we're going to bring to our legislature and our day in legislation, which is in March of this year, I think the 19th and 20th. In Tallahassee. And the final thing that we'd like to address is the voluntary pre-K. We We want those children of ages 3 and 4 to get into those preschool programs and funded for a four-day program where they have transportation and also access to early learning. So those are our 5 priorities that we're going to address with the legislator when we get a chance to speak with him in Tallahassee in March.
Great. David, we've got to do traffic on the 5s and then about two and a half minutes worth of commercials, and then if you're good, we'll keep you on and bring you back and talk a little bit about some successes we're seeing in the school district.
Awesome.
All right, traffic on the 5s.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, if you're going eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, I'm starting to see about a 5-minute congestion delay. And also 98 going eastbound past from the Navarre Beach Bridge, it's about a 10 to 15 minute delay on 98. Just wanted you to know about that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Sarah, Happy New Year. You look amazing. How are things with you and Mark?
Lisa, I can't thank you enough for telling me about Wave Men's Health. We've totally rediscovered each other. Mark's working out. Oh, and we're doing more as a family than laying around watching TV.
I told you, they're incredible. My husband and I had the same experience. It's like having that spark all over again, isn't it?
Exactly. It's more than the physical. It's the connection, the energy. It's the best gift we could have given ourselves.
This new year, make the resolution that changes it all. Wave Men's Health brings you proven options for ED, low testosterone, and enhancement. Reignite your drive, rebuild your confidence, and show up in the moments that matter most.
Here's to more love and more joy in the year ahead.
Cheers to that.
Book your appointment today at wavemenshealth.com or dial 850-266-7020. That's wavemenshealth.com or dial 850-266-7020. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Discouraged? Defeated? Disappointed? You're listening to Strength for Life.
Hey, this is Pastor James Johnson with Strength for Life. I want you to know that there are resources available on our website that are specifically designed to strengthen you in your walk with God. Maybe you're feeling weak in your prayer life because of unanswered prayer. I wrote a little booklet entitled When God Says No, which will strengthen you in how to deal with those times in your life when it seems that God is silent. Maybe you're struggling because someone you love is away from the Lord. They're wayward and your heart is broken. On our website, you'll find a booklet entitled Ministry to the Wayward, and it will strengthen you in knowing exactly how to help that person who is in a prodigal situation. You can find these strengthening resources and much more at our website, which is www.strengthforlife.church. Check it out today.
This is Coke Zero Sugar. Could I be the best Coke ever? Listen closely. Hear those bubbles? That mouth-watering waterfall? Delicious. Ice cold. And zero sugar. Is Coke Zero Sugar the best Coke ever? Try and decide.
Try Coke Zero Sugar today and decide for yourself if it's the best Coke ever. Find Coke Zero Sugar at any local retailer.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola this Friday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss this Friday at 9 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Newfancap and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson standing in for Andrew McKay here on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. Before we left for the break, we had the chairman of the Escambia County School District, Mr. David Williams, on. He was kind enough to stay on with us through the commercials. So, Mr. Williams, I know we were talking about some of the whole childhood community programs the school district's got going on in partnership with the Escambia Children's Trust. You ran through your legislative priorities that the school district has for this year with session getting started over in Tallahassee here soon. And just, again, you know, I want to give you an opportunity to talk about some of the successes going on in the Escambia County School District. I know the graduation rates just came out yesterday or the day before, and I'm sure that'd be something you'd like to highlight.
Yes, I sure would. And so I'd like to tell you about our graduation rate, even though we're still lagging somewhat behind the Florida graduation rate. Our graduation rate for Escambia County in 22-23 was 80.5%. For this past year, 23-24, we were 84.2%. And so that's an increase of 4.2%. So we're heading in the right direction. Our trajectory is going up. We're still somewhat behind the Florida graduation rate, which is right now 89%, but we're moving in the right direction. And that's evident by the school grades under the leadership of Keith Leonard. Thus far, we have 14 schools that receive A's, 12 schools receive B's, 25 schools have a 25 schools have a C rating and one B, and no failing public schools in our district. So those are our successes. We're really excited about that. We've added two new board members that have replaced long-standing board members on our school board. Ms. Burgosh and Mr. Harrell are now part of our school board. And as you know, the term limits has passed, so you won't see the Penny Hightowers and Bill Slaytons anymore on the school board. That served for 16 and 20 years.
Wow. Yeah, and I know you've been with the school district for a long time. You were a basketball coach, I think, right, at Pensacola High School and the principal for a long time. And, you know, are there any sports programs around the county we need to be keeping an eye out as we get into the spring that are looking like they might be hot this spring?
Yeah, I'll tell you, if you haven't had a chance to watch the Washington High School girls basketball team, they are super. They have a chance to really make a deep run into the playoffs. They have an outstanding team coached by Jade Brown, who is a Pensacola product herself, and just doing a marvelous job. And, of course, you know the history at Washington High School. Have a great basketball history. And also, I'd just like to say this, that we lost one of the greatest players that I've ever had a chance to see, and Sam McCants, who played at Catholic in the early 70s. He passed away on Christmas Day, and we're working now trying to get him in the Sports Hall of Fame for the state of Florida and other honors around, local honors as well. He was one of the greatest basketball players I've ever seen in my life.
Wow, that's a cool story, and certainly want to keep his family in thoughts and prayers. That's tough around the holidays, especially on Christmas Day, to lose a family member like that. So, you know, also want to talk about, we're getting into, you know, it is spring, second semester just started, but, you know, for parents that maybe have a four-year-old or, you know, three-and-a-half-year-old that they're going into the school system this August, what kind of is the timeline that they need to be keeping their eye out for information on enrollment and how they are making sure they're getting their child into school starting this next school year?
Yeah, and as you know, the projection of the school year is always done a year in advance. You know, being a former administrator, we start staffing, probably in February or March of this year, projecting for next year. So the school choice program will have these advertisers out saying when you can come and start enrolling your child. So that's coming up real soon. So they're just keeping an eye out on the Escambia County School System website. And I'll be glad to come back and give you those dates. I don't have them right now, but preparation is important, especially in pre-K. We want to get those kids in early and make sure they get a good foundation that will continue into the other public school system that they enroll in.
That's great. And, you make sure you check the school district website for all that information. And, of course, I know that, you know, yourself and other board members and the superintendent will make sure that information is getting out when it's that time. Just real quick, we got traffic on the fives with John.
That's right. We're seeing some backup. If you're approaching the intersection of 9 Mile and Highway 29 going southbound, you're going to see some delays there. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone is about a 10 to 15 minute delay just due to congestion. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Mr. Williams, just, you know, one last topic I wanted to chat about is I know that Cordova Park Elementary, and I believe there's one other elementary school, started a sixth grade program for parents who wanted to, you know, maybe keep their fifth grader at that school for one more year instead of going straight off into middle school. Can you tell us just a little bit about how that program has been going, and is there any you know room for expansion to other schools, other elementary schools around the county?
And that's another initiative that Superintendent Mr. Leonard is pushing, encouraging the students, and because we've looked at several models around the country, you know, K through eight program, and we know that's pretty expensive. So instead of going that route, we looked at adding sixth grade to certain schools and piloting it to see how it goes after 1 year and see how many students want to stay. We're just in observation mode right now to see how it works and see how many would really want to say, I want to move on to middle school. And so it's still in the implementation stage. So we're going to look and see how this works after this 1 year. But we've had a good talk with the superintendent about this, and so it may spread to other elementary schools as well.
Great. And I know I said that was the last time. I did have one more thing, so I apologize. But past November, the half-cent sales tax passed again. And I know as a you know former principal yourself, you know, how important is that for administrators in these schools, and what kind of projects can we see kind of come out of that over the next decade or more of that, you know, sales tax, half-cent sales tax being in place for the school district?
Oh, man, it's vitally important. It's our watchdog committee, and one of the people that I've had a chance to nominate to be on the Hanson sales tax is Jewel Canada Wynn. Of course, you know, she's the former city councilman, and also she worked in the school system. And it goes toward a lot of those projects of upkeeping the buildings and also building new structures as well and new schools. And so it goes directly back into our community. It's so vitally important. It's money that we could not have raised. It's not in the budget of the Kenny County school system. So it goes to the upkeep of the buildings, new buildings, and we're at that meeting, I believe, in a couple of weeks at the superintendent's office. And Jill Kendall Wynn is our representative from my district.
Great. Great. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on this morning, giving everybody a little bit of an update of what's going on at the Scambia County School District. Wish you well, and hope you have a great rest of the week and a good, nice 3-day long weekend. I know the kids are probably excited to already have a break. I know they just got back, but I know they'll be happy to have a day off on Monday.
That's true. Thank you so much, Walker.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, you know, we've got a lot of teachers out there. They're probably not listening currently because they're probably instructing our students that are in the school district. But I'm a product of Escambia County School Districts, went kindergarten through 12th grade here in Escambia County at Scenic Heights Ferry Pass and Washington High School. So I need to make sure that I'm keeping my eye out for the Lady Cats as they go into the basketball season. They have been good for a number of years, and were good while I was there. Made a little bit of a run in the playoffs back in my day in Washington High School. So it'll be good to see. But just, you know, our public education and teachers do a tremendous job. They do everything they can with the resources they have. The school district and superintendent work hard to make sure that our students have, you know, the best shot at success that they can, no matter what that success looks like, whether that's college or going into a trade. We have a lot of career academies at these high schools and even now middle schools where students can get exposure to different industries in the area, whether that's, you know, aviation or get a, you know, dabble in nursing a little bit at some of these schools. And so I think they're doing everything they can with what they have, you know, to give our students some success and opportunities to do so. We've made it to almost 7:30, and we'll go ahead and break, and we'll be back with Sheriff Chip Simmons here in a little bit.
That's right. But first, let's talk to David. He has news headlines.
Well, I absolutely do. And good morning, John. So in Los Angeles, those fires are still going strong. And officials in Los Angeles now saying they're going after looters. District attorney there, Nathan Hochman, says almost a dozen people so far are looking at charges for looting in different evacuation zones. Kind of an interesting story here. The risk of developing dementia may be a little bit higher than previously thought. There's a new study out this week. It estimates the risk at about 42% for both men and women.
This new number, a 42% risk of getting dementia after 55, scientists say is due in part to better tracking and the fact we're living longer. In fact, for women who live longer than men, the risk is now 48%.
And that is NBC's Ann Thompson. Earlier studies had those numbers at 14% for men, 23% for women. That study published in the Journal of Nature Medicine.
Thank you very much, David. We'll be right back on News Radio 92.3.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A week since devastating fires started in Southern California, the highest fire weather warning is back in effect today.
Strong winds could potentially help set more fires or spread them. Winds could gust upwards of 70 miles per hour, especially across Ventura and LA counties, where we already have ongoing huge fires.
Fox's senior meteorologist Janice Dean. Trump Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth's Senate confirmation hearings start today.
Democrats are expected to ask Hegseth about his qualifications, comments on diversity in the military, and the financial mismanagement and sexual assault allegations against him, which he has denied. Hegseth, a veteran with the Army National Guard who served active duty in both Iraq and Afghanistan, promises to bring back what he calls a warrior culture to the Defense Department.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. The hearing starts at 9:30 Eastern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Bit chilly out there this morning. We've got 38 degrees, but nice and sunny today. Well, the Holly Navarre Water System might be hiking their rates soon. The board says they need more money to replace their aging infrastructure and keep up with inflation.
We want to make sure that the infrastructure is kept up, and we don't want to run out of money. And, you know, looking at the cash flow projections a little closer, and if we're going to do these infrastructure projects, then the money's got to be there to do it, or else we will. I will reluctantly vote to approve it.
I'm with you. I support. I don't want it. I just think it's necessary.
And that is from a utility budget meeting last week. A consultant did recommend 2 years of 12% increases, then annual inflation adjustments. They said the Holly Navarre Water System was charging less than the EPA's affordability threshold of 4.5% of the median household income for the area. The board will vote on that increase at their next meeting on January 21st. The Gulfarium Care Center in Fort Walton Beach has taken in 8 cold-stunned Kemp's Ridley sea turtles. They're now receiving life-saving care. It's part of a collaborative rescue effort. The turtles were transported from the New England Aquarium. They arrived at the care center after being rescued from frigid northern waters. The care center says if you happen to come across a sea turtle in distress that is injured or deceased, you need to report that to the FWC. Their number is 888-404-FWCC. Well, we are about a week away now, a little less, from the early voting starting for the Republican primary in the upcoming special election.
The early voting's this Saturday till the following Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and we're only hosting it at 7 locations.
Escambia County Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender, he says they did cut costs by eliminating a few of those early voting locations that they had previously been using. There's 10 candidates that are vying for the Republican nomination for the District 1 congressional seat vacated in November by Matt Gaetz. In Santa Rosa County, voting runs the same days. Hours, though, slightly different. Their hours, 8 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. Two locations, one in Milton, one in Gulf Breeze. The Pensacola City Council takes their first step to authorize state grant funding for the rebuilding of Bay Bluffs Park this week. They're voting on resolutions to endorse their partnership with Conservation Florida on the project and authorize $2.2 million in DEP state grant funding. That would get design work and community engagement underway as soon as this spring.
So there's not a lot of tangible development in terms of, you know, what's going to go where and all of that, but this is that step to be able to get those funds released.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, he says the city will be holding community engagement sessions to get feedback from residents. The Bay Bluffs Park was closed in 2023 after the boardwalks were deemed unsafe. They'll likely be torn down and replaced by nature trails. An estimated timeline provided to the Pensacola Council this week says that project could be out to bid as soon as this fall. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. If you're traveling I-10 eastbound right around mile marker number 7, there was a vehicle crash with injuries. It's off to the side of the road, but I'm starting to see some major delays if you're going I-10 eastbound just south of Pine Forest, going through that construction zone. There's about a 30-35 minute delay associated with that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will see a beautiful day today with partly cloudy skies, high near 53 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 41. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 54. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 39. Small chance of an isolated shower on Thursday with a high near 58 and a low near 43. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, 36 and sunny in Pensacola, 35 in Milton, 36 in Gulf Breeze. Your next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Producer Price Index, which measures wholesale inflation, is set for release in 10 minutes. Economists polled by Dow Jones predict that headline PPI grew 0.4%, while the core figure, which excludes food and energy, rose 0.3%. Bristol-Myers Squibb CEO Chris Boerner described his company's new drug, Cobenfy, which can be used to treat psychiatric disorders like schizophrenia. He said the treatment is effective but doesn't carry the serious side effects of other traditional medications. IAC has announced that its board approved the spinoff of Angie, the home improvement marketplace it acquired in 2017. The holding company said it expects the spinoff to close in the second quarter of the year. The two companies will post their respective fourth quarter results when IAC reports on February 11th. Futures are slightly higher ahead of inflation data later this morning. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 358, the NASDAQ down 73. That's Your Money Now.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Start your year in a new Subaru from Anderson Subaru. 2024 Crosstrek model starting at $25,262. 2024 Forester Wilderness model starting at $36,222. And 2025 Outback model start at $28,868. Love is out there. Find it at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in today at 10 to the Pensacola Expert Panel, as ProHealth will be the guest. They'll be discussing the ProHealth Medical Membership Program, as well as they are now offering 20 affordable on-site ultrasounds. Find out how ProHealth can help you take out the stress from the cost of healthcare today at 10 with ProHealth on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable?
Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay here on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. We are lucky enough to have Sheriff Chip Simmons here in the studio today, and want to thank you for coming in and help making this show possible and keeping me in check as much as possible, too.
I don't know if that's possible, but good morning, Walker. Yeah. How are you?
Doing good. Hanging in there. I know we just had the chairman of the school district on, Mr. David Williams, and so maybe a good segue is touched a little bit about the lockdown that occurred at Pine Forest High School last week.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about your conversation, and I really would like to say first that there's a great deal of coordination and cooperation with the school district, whether that's the school board, whether that's the superintendent, Keith Leonard, or whether that's the individual school principals. We do a lot of training together. So we're all on the same page. So we know when there's a lockdown, which means basically you close the doors and no one's allowed in or out until we can get a handle on things. And that's what happened at Pine Forest last week. It was more of a coincidence. We were already investigating a social media threat that while we didn't believe it was legitimate, we want to make sure that we run down all of these threats. And while we're doing this investigation, we understand that there were 4 to 5 students that went into Pine Forest High School through a different route, not the general route. And so we just, again, abundance of caution, we wanted to make sure that these two weren't connected, and we did so. And ultimately we found out that the students were just trying to avoid getting tardy, I guess a tardy checkoff. And then we ran down the threats, and we ended up finding out who made those social media threats. And then we're going to present that to the judge for review. So, right. Again, it's important for people to understand that we take these threats serious. They're not jokes. You can't do this because it disrupts everything. And we don't know what's a legitimate threat and what is something we need to act on. So we act on everything to a certain degree. I know there are some people were wondering if we have to do that every time. I think when you look back at some of the school incidents and instances at different places, you can always find something that they could have done, should have done. In hindsight, they wish they'd have taken different action. So we want to make sure we're not in that situation.
Right. You certainly want to, take as much caution as you can with something like that. And, you'd rather check things out and there be nothing than find out, some other way. And I know a lot of times they are on social media nowadays, and students may, you want to encourage them to tell their parents if they see something, odd like that on social media so they can get in contact with you guys. I know that's probably how you find out a lot, or you may have folks that are kind of looking through social media for stuff like that too.
So. Absolutely. Again, it's I've had kids go through the Skeen McKenna School District. Mm-hmm. I've gone through the school district. I have grandchildren now in the school district, and I would want law enforcement to check all of these out. I don't want them to just ignore them. Oh, this doesn't seem legitimate or anything like that. I want them to run those down and to make sure that there is not some problem. Again, you can look at Parkland, and everyone will say, mm-hmm. Oh, we knew that kid was problems. We knew there was an issue there. They probably should have run that down. Maybe even Columbine, if you go way back. You got some thoughts on some students that have made threats or were acting a bit irrational. And then I think that people, the citizens of Escambia County, certainly the parents, would expect nothing less from us and the Pensacola Police Department.
Yeah. And I know y'all been working on a big project. I can't remember if it's through the foundation or through the sheriff's office directly, but the law enforcement memorial going there kind of on the plaza as you walk into the sheriff's office. And groundbreaking is this Thursday at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for the last couple of months. Yeah. But we've always had a memorial of some sort. And people have heard this, I know, but I want to make sure that if there's a new listener, we've always had a law enforcement memorial ceremony, which is typically in May. And the thought, though, was that ours wasn't quite big enough. We've had to put, you know, it's kind of overflow seating and the area around it. It was a triangle, but it was aimed towards the sheriff's office itself. So a lot of people would be able to go into and outside of the sheriff's office and never really notice that there was even a memorial there.
Right.
I felt like we need a little bit more. We, you know, these are heroes that have made us what we are today. So we wanted to make it where it's two parts. One is the memorial side and one is the plaza side. And that's why we're calling it the Law Enforcement Memorial Plaza. And yes, finally we get to a point where I say finally, there's been a lot of good work, a lot of back and forth, a lot of hours and angst about this thing, getting it just right. As anyone knows who's come up with a construction project.
Right.
But we're finally at a point where this Thursday we will have the shovels out and we'll do a ceremonial groundbreaking. And that, again, as you mentioned, that is Thursday at 2 o'clock. So everyone's invited. If they want to come by, they certainly can. 2 o'clock, hopefully, be a little bit warmer than,
yes,
than early
so.
In the morning. and then that will start the construction in earnest. That'll really get it going. And we hope to have it completed actually by May. It's mostly an open plaza area with pavers and a granite wall. So it shouldn't, hopefully it won't take too long.
Yeah, too long. Good stuff. But let's get traffic on the fives real quick, John.
That's right. If you're on Pine Forest trying to get on I-10 eastbound, there's about a 20-30 minute delay there due to an accident that happened earlier. Starting to see traffic just move just a little bit, but it's still delaying there. Also, if you're at the intersection of 9 Mile and Highway 29 going both north and southbound, you're going to see some delays, about a 15-minute delay in that area. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, this is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay. We've got Sheriff Chip Simmons here in the studio. Sheriff Simmons, you just got sworn in. I was able to swing in for a moment for your ceremony a couple weeks ago. And, you know, one of the things that you highlighted in you know, the address that you kind of gave an update on a State of the Union for the Sheriff's Department in Escambia County.
Yeah.
One of the highlights is, and I think it was just, you know, an amazing program that you've really put on here is the Blazer Academy. And you've got a new Blazer Academy starting in February here in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's one of those things. That's our mentorship program. It's probably one of the best things that we do at the Sheriff's Office. And this year we look to have a male Blazer Academy, a female Blazer Academy, and we're also working on having what we call an alumni, for lack of a better term, alumni meeting, which is we'll put out invites to everyone, all the males that have gone through our male Blazer Academy, and see if they're willing to come on in or have a need or want really to come back in and let's see how you're doing. We've been doing it now for a couple of years, so some of the kids could conceivably been graduating. They could be 18 years old, but we want to make sure that this program. Let's follow up. Let's see how you're doing. Let's see if there might be an avenue to where we can talk a little bit more to some kids that are maybe not 15, 16, or 13, 14, 15-year-old. Maybe we can talk to those that are 16, 17, 18, even young adults. Let's kind of see where we're at because it's, the one thing that I think is very valuable is the fact that we were able to be, to give time and to be flexible with what they want to talk about. We do have a program, but again, to be flexible, sometimes we'll look at our Blazer Academy and say, okay, today we're going to talk about first impression, say. Mm-hmm. And then, but something comes up. Something is going on in the community. Something's going on in the country. And they want to talk about their role in a community or their role as a parent or their future success. Well, you want to talk about it? Let's talk about it. Let's go with that. And I think that's the value of the Blazer Academy itself. So we're very proud of the academies themselves, and again this year we're going to try to get an alumni. So if you're there and you've gone through our academy, get ready. You'll probably get an email in the next month or so, and probably just a 2-week session for them. Even if it's for 3 kids, we'll do it.
Yeah.
If it's 30 kids, we'll certainly do it.
That's awesome. And again, just want to commend you and the Sheriff's Department on that program and the good that it's doing for, you know, those young kids' lives and the impact that you're making. And I think that's pretty cool. We were talking, you know, before you came on, at my day job, I'm the executive director of the Downtown Improvement Board, and we deal with a lot of issues downtown that aren't any different than anywhere else in town. But we discussed some kind of homeless in downtown Pensacola and kind of how we see that issue go up and down throughout the year. And just wanted to kind of ask you, there's this new state law that there's no camping in public spaces or in, you know, public park. And just how is that, or how is the Sheriff's Department kind of equipping to approach that issue under this new law? And what, you know, do you see and how y'all approach that as you move forward?
Yeah, if I could walk a real quick, let me go back 1 second, because the two issues that we talked, the two big projects really that we talked about, the Blazer Academy and the memorial, are both funded by the foundation. Mm-hmm. So there's no tax dollars, which I'm obviously very proud of. So the foundation does a really good job of helping us with our engagement platforms and helping with the memorial as well. So getting back to the camping ordinance, as people know, the state had passed a state statute regarding no camping on public property. Unless there are certain criteria that are met, that didn't really direct anything from law enforcement. So, Board of County Commissioners created an ordinance that pretty much mirrors the state statute. So, bottom line is you can't camp, and no one can camp on public property. What does that mean? That an individual can't stand on a sidewalk with a sign that says "Give me money" or "I need help"? It does not mean that. There's nothing in the statute that gets into that. So what we've been concentrating on is working with, because we do intend to enforce the ordinance, the state the county ordinance. So we've given out dozens and dozens of warnings, because I don't want to just arrest everyone that we think is camping on his property. Let's give them a day or two to start to educate them. Actually, on our warning, it gives the list of where the resources are, so you can go and find these resources. So we've given out plenty of warnings. We've been working with Kissimmee County Code Enforcement on this thing. And again, all I can tell you is we intend to enforce this ordinance. And if you've been warned once and we come back and you're still camping on public property, you're going to go to jail. We're going to go ahead and put you in the county jail, and then hopefully you can find those resources that you need when you get out.
Yeah, well, I think that's, you know, that's a great approach, is make sure people know that they're not supposed to be there. Give them a warning, give them resources if they need it, or a way to get to resources on that warning. And then again, you know, told you once, they're not going to tell you again, kind of deal. And I'm sure that, you know, sheriff's deputies are making sure that that's also a clear message they're getting across when those warnings go out too.
Well, I mean, and how do you do this without eventually telling you, look, I've told you once, I've told you twice, or I've warned you, I've given you the resources. We're all humans, and we all have a care and concern for our fellow man. And I think that the deal that I would have is that, look, it's cold out here. This is a place where you can get shelter. This is a place where you can get food. Let's someone can help you, whether it's you need counseling, whether you need food, whether you need a ticket home for to get some family support systems around you. I think that's the direction where we want to go. No one wants to see an individual suffering. Right. And law enforcement, we certainly don't either. And then we also have this ordinance that prohibits camping on public property, because the county, Kissimmee County, cannot have people camping on public property either, based on the state statute. So I think if we work together, I think that when we continue to give them the warnings and the information about the resources that are available, I think ultimately what you'll see is fewer camping on public property, consistent with the state statute.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for coming in today, Sheriff Simmons. And again, we'll see you Thursday, 2:00 at the Sheriff's Office for the groundbreaking for the memorial. And just again, thanks for what all of you do to keep us safe here in Kissimmee County.
You bet. Glad to be here.
Take care.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
You know, one of the things that I appreciate about Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty is they do all these little things, and all the little things add up to big differences in the results. And there's one kind of example of that that's always stuck with me that Christina told me about. And she says, look, when somebody comes and looks at one of my houses and they don't make an offer, what I do is I call the agent and I say, you know, hey, I saw the person looked at the house and, you know, didn't make an offer. What did they think? Or what didn't they like? Or, you know, what happened? And then let them talk. And they'll say, well, the price was too high. Or they'll say, I, you know, it didn't fit my family's needs. Or I didn't like the layout of the living room. Or, you know, whatever. And then what Christina learns from that is what might be the impediments that knowing this can help her sell that house in the future. Or, oh, well, we can fix that. If we fix that, would they be interested? Maybe they would be. You might even be able to turn it into a sale. I mean, that's a little thing. It's sort of obvious. Everybody should do it. But she actually does that. And it's all those little things that make for big results. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
IZERVAY is proven to slow GA progression.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
IZERVAY or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Investing in times like these can be scary if you don't have the right person at the helm of your finances. Armada Advisors will put you on the right path for success. Hi, I'm Meg. Find out how tomorrow at 10 as Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors will join me on the Pensacola Expert Panel to help you find a better way to successfully invest your money and enjoy your retirement. That's tomorrow at 10 with Armada Advisors on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays, The Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. John, what's going on with traffic around town?
Well, we just had an accident happen with a roadblock on North Cross Lane and Davis Highway. That's as you approach I-10. We're seeing the road is blocked there. So that just happened. So first responders are on their way to take care of that. I-10 eastbound, still seeing some delays, but not as bad as earlier between Pine Forest and Highway 29. That congestion's about a 5 to 10 minute delay there. But the major one is if you're on Davis heading, I guess, southbound right around Olive Road and area, that traffic is just at a standstill right now. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, I'm going to tag on here. I did get a text in. There's an accident on the corner of Softly and Mobile Highway westbound. Just happened a couple minutes ago. Law enforcement wasn't on the scene yet. I guess they maybe were there when it happened. So just keep your eyes out. Be safe out there. And don't be texting and driving. But if you do get somewhere and you want to text and comment on the show or give us a call at 850-437-1620. I work for the Downtown Improvement Board. As my day job, I'll be headed there after the show today. And we do have a long weekend coming up this weekend. It is the third Friday of the month, so that means it is gallery night. And this is a gallery night that a lot of folks look forward to, the celebration of the Lunar New Year gallery night, as its own nonprofit that puts this this on every month on that third Friday from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. They'll have 60 plus artists down there. They'll have some live music, some acts going on. But this is when they kind of hang those lanterns above the road and really bring art to life right there on Palafox. So hopefully we'll see you down there at Gallery Night this Friday from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock.